Good evening and welcome to the call. We want to welcome all those who are here with us for the first time. It's very exciting to have everybody gather together on Tuesday evenings to talk about those things that matter most. These calls are being recorded and can be found on your Intentional Creation toolset. Just go to intentionalcreation.com and go to the very bottom under the graph. It says Member Login. Click Username and Password, and you'll be dropped right into your tool section. On the left-hand side, go down to Group Coaching, press Group Coaching, select the week that you have missed, click on it, and there'll be a recording on the right-hand side, and you can listen to and download that recording to an MP3 player for your ears only, so that you can pick up on any sessions that you might have missed since you enrolled in the coaching. So if there's any reason that something happens on a Tuesday night and you cannot attend, you always know within about a day you'll be able to access that call and get caught up in your coaching program. We're so excited that you're involved in this process. This is, for many of you, a year-long process of taking on your thought process of dealing with the truth of it. Now, last week, we talked about a concept called power sessions. This is an opportunity for us to be fully present in the now, at least three times a day. You might say, well, am I not in the now all day long? And the truth is, most of us spend the majority of our time in our head, thinking about other things, sometimes worrying or fearful or going into the future or some form of multitasking while we're in the physical world doing things. And three times a day, we're going to encourage you to be fully present in the now, learning how to or bringing your skills for listening, intrinsically validating others, and being able to serve fully in that space, using your creativity, bringing your ideas, your inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems into this space, passion-driven, doing things that are exciting. And this evening, we're going to open the call up, first of all, to anyone who would like to share an experience they had last week in a power session. Remember, we read Scroll 5, then we do power sessions, and then we read Scroll 9, power sessions, Scroll 7 before we go to bed at night. We journal what happens so that we can remember the experiences of the week. It's your opportunity to share with us, and I'm so excited to hear from you, those things that happened to you this week while you were in power sessions. So who would like to go first? Do we have anybody on the call this evening? I know we have. I've been hearing lots of people come on the line. Who did a power session last week? If you did a power session, please come on and share with us. Hi, Eileen. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
Welcome to the call tonight. We're just calling for anyone who actually did a power session last week to share with us what occurred during that power session, and particularly something that might have occurred that might not have happened had you not been that focused in a power session. Anybody care to share? Interesting, isn't it?
Dave?
You're saying yes.
Hey, this is Mike. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us okay?
Yeah. I do have one that I would like to relate. And you probably know this because we chatted about it briefly. We started a new men's group, a Bible study for gentlemen that are in transition. These are folks that have lost their home for whatever reason and they've become homeless. We started a group, and we had about four or five people initially, and one of the power sessions that I had was in prayer in terms of how could I help these folks in a manner that they wanted to be helped, number one. And number two, being very prayerful that at our next meeting that we would have even more people in attendance. So toward that end, I was able to get some job opportunities for some folks. I was able to pray for a number of them. We ended up with 7 people that evening. And as a result of the prayers, the 3 of them went on to get jobs. Now, I think they got their jobs on their own, you know, on their own volition, but we helped put them in that position, and it was really just trying to into what we could do for those gentlemen that were at that Monday night Bible study and how well it went. So I was just very thankful that I had taken the time to be thankful for my Creator, our Lord, and that He did the rest. But it was in part that He put the right words in our mouths, and I was just very grateful. It was a small miracle, if you will.
What do you think, Mike, that you said that night that you might not have said had you have not been in that form of preparation and that fully present? Reflecting on the evening.
If I hadn't done that, I would have come ill-prepared. I would have been doing it off the cuff and just relying on my own power to come up with ideas and solutions. Now, that may be okay, but it's not going to be stellar, and clearly this answer was even better. In fact, amongst one of our discussions, one of the gentlemen had asked a question, a biblical-related question, and I'll be honest, I did not have the answer. Shame on me, but I didn't. But one of my other cohorts that was also with me facilitating, he did. And that was part of my prayer, was that we be able to answer the questions that come up, provide them with information, and to give us the words that would be important for them to hear. Now, had we not prayed that, or had I not prayed that, Roger might have had the answer, perhaps, perhaps not. But I really believe that he was able to answer it eloquently because he was prepared.
And so you deliver something that you might not have otherwise because you thought through it or organized. You present it. You have you want to listen. And then they take that information, and they needed to take action. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. And as they took action, then they were able to find jobs, and 3 of them were able to find jobs. That's quite a great percentage, wouldn't you say?
That's why I'm calling it a small miracle.
Uh-huh.
In their case, a large miracle.
You were going to be at the meeting, weren't you? You were going to be at the meeting anyway, were you not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the likelihood next time you have a meeting like that you'll follow the same pattern?
Well, very likely. You know, as you enter into these things, you, at least in my mind, you have to be, you have to think about what it is that you want to accomplish, what is it you want to do, but more importantly, how will it help? How will it make somebody's day? How will it get somebody to smile? How will it help them spiritually, financially, or just in a relationship? And if you do that, even though you may not have the answer immediately, the answer, I don't want to say magically because it's not magic, but the answer will appear even though if you don't have that answer at that point in time. I think you call it being in the now, but if you're not thinking about it, if you're not praying about it or asking for guidance to have that unravel, it won't.
Mike, how could we apply that principle of that kind of preparation, that kind of visualization, even in your case, seeking a prayerful answer, to a standard business meeting? Let's say someone on the phone does recruiting of people and meets with them on a regular basis. How would this apply?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, I think in my mind several ways. Number one, if you're going to have a meeting with a prospective client, be it somebody that you're going to represent or someone that you will be selling a product to, is that you have to kind of find out what's in their head, what is it they want, and you kind of have to peel back the onion a little bit and ask, what is it that this gentleman or lady, how can I try to serve this individual? Either in information, if she's a recruiter, perhaps it's how do I help somebody get this job? What tools might they need? And some of that will come through the questions that you would ask that individual in terms of their preparation, kind of finding out what's going on in their head a little bit, or take an assessment. but I think that if you pray or you strategize what you want to do ahead of time and what the likely outcome might be, and just really think about how can I serve this individual. You know, maybe you will or will not have a position available for this applicant, but maybe in the back of your mind you might be able to think of something. And by doing that conscious thought, that preparation, if you will, ideas will present themselves.
Mm-hmm. Inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to problems. Now, Mike, I know you're a prayerful person, and the vernacular that you use is very consistent with your faith and the kind of man that you are. Someone else may not be as comfortable with prayer per se or with a God similar to yours, but they may believe in a power that's greater than themselves. The interesting piece for all of those on the phone is that we can spend our time in our mind in preparation in catastrophizing and anxiety and fear. We can spend that time fantasizing about what it's going to be like when they buy and what we're going to do with the money we get from the sale. We can do that, race way beyond the meeting itself. How many people are going to show up, or how many people are going to buy, and how much they're going to buy, and what I'm going to do, and pretty soon we're buying that carpet for the living room instead of focusing on that meeting. And I think Mike's counsel to us is what happens if we go into these constructive places in our mind and we formally connect with our power, that partner we have, that power that governs abundance, God, in my view, and that's my belief system. That's Mike's belief system. It may not be yours in terms of God or a savior, but that power, and I've found, Mike, in my experience, that God is not too hard on those who actually seek his help to bless the lives of another. And as we step into those processes of mental rehearsal, where we go into the future, such as Mike did with this meeting, and start thinking about what could be said, what could be done, and he got inspired ideas and prepared so that when he showed up, he actually could serve them. To seek inspiration, if there's anyone I could serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. These are, in fact, forms of prayer. If you could call them that, absolutely. They are forms of meditation. They are forms of constructively using our gift to vividly visualize in a way to serve other people. And when our heart is in that place to serve, that power will serve us by giving us inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. We will know things that can't be known any other way. But the truth of it is this. We won't know it if our heart is not in this place. Mike gave us a great example of, because this was to serve and it's part of this church, and there's very little difference between this and almost any business in which we are approaching people to serve people and bless their lives. Do we really seek to bless lives, or are we just privately, secretly trying to accumulate enough money to get above it all with no more stress or pain? Oh, to know the truth of it. One will ignite those powers and give us those inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. We can't fake our true intentions when we're dealing directly with that power. We also know if those things are not coming, we're going to want to take a look at our intentions. Are they really, truly pure? We really want to bless lives, or is that just lip service? Because there are those in the world who just give lip service to that discussion. They really are about the money. Let us know the truth of it as it relates to us. Michael, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful example. Is there anyone else who would like to share a power session?
Hey, Dave. This is Bill.
Yes. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm doing terrific tonight.
Oh, glad. I am
and
too.
You? You are too.
I'm doing wonderful, yeah. Well, as you know, I had a retreat over the weekend.
Yes, you did.
participated in, and the whole day was really, really wonderful. It was one giant power session, really. But I had a particular point where I participated in it. I was asked to really kind of just share my story in a very brief way to let the participants in the retreat get a glimpse at another person's journey, and maybe they could relate to it. And so in my mental rehearsal for that, I focused. I didn't know really too many people in the audience, so I made the audience me, and focused on what about my story would be of interest to me, which sounds kind of funny, I know, but I just knew that there was going to be at least one person sitting out there that could relate to my story almost directly. And it really, the mental rehearsal I went through for really a few days in advance, not just the morning of, but a few days in advance, really enabled me to do what most public speakers try not to do, and that's get lost in the story for a little bit, and really, really share from the heart, really make myself transparent so that people could really, really see, you know, without getting emotional or anything like that. And as a result, had a lot of real positive feedback from people, as my story isn't overly dramatic, but it's very, as I'm finding, is somewhat typical of what people are looking to get past. And so I had a lot of people walking up to me and very able to relate. And one particular person had been asked to provide a similar thing at a church service the next day, and was able to inspire them to accomplish the same thing the next day, which was very gratifying. So that mental rehearsal that in that power session made it possible. It put me in that spot. I was fully prepared to share myself fully in that moment.
Now, Bill, you've had, without going into personal discussion here, unless you would like to, you've had some painful things happen in your life in the last few years.
I have, yeah. Job loss, divorce, a series of jobs. Yeah, it's, none of it's anything that I feel has to be kept too private. I was able to relate. Again, without getting too emotional, although that's not a problem either. But it was a pretty, pretty painful decade, and by tapping into that source of power, that higher power, and really the retreat was really about finding that power and filling yourself with it. That has made all the difference for me, and continues to. It's a work in progress, just like everybody is.
Was there ever a day when you might have been a little uncomfortable telling the truth of it?
Yeah, I still have those days. Mm-hmm. I still worry about how it's perceived by others. I worry more about how it's perceived by me now than I do others. That enables me to laugh a little bit at myself for taking it so seriously.
Were you at all surprised how dealing with the truth of it, no impress, no pretend, let go of the shame, let go of the fear, just being real and genuine and authentic and just telling the story, how many people out there were having similar challenges or painful experiences who all of a sudden felt, because for those of you on the phone who don't know Bill, Bill's been to our cabin. Bill is tall, and he's handsome, and he's articulate, and he's a trivia guru. You could carry on a conversation with Bill about anything, and you would never know Bill ever had a problem in his life. He looks so put together that if he stood in front of this room and just talked to them about what they needed to do with their lives, so many would have been able to say, wow, I wish I could be like him, but I'm not sure he really understands where I am. And then all of a sudden, you have the courage and the inspiration, the idea, the inspired idea and impression to talk about the truth of it as if you're trying to talk to yourself. What a brilliant idea. And when you do, you said some people said, without feeling uncomfortable about, because this isn't about boasting, we want to know the evidence of what happens. When you got done and people had an opportunity to come up and talk to you, what happened, Bill?
You started out by asking if I was surprised, and I am always surprised. Because I see the same thing, that, you know, here's a person that is put together, and I may know them in passing but not know them real well, but just think, wow, that appears to be someone who really has it going on, and then to hear them relate. So I'm not surprised that they're comfortable in relating, because I've gotten to the point now where I understand that when I make myself comfortable with it, then others are comfortable with it. But I'm sometimes surprised at what I hear. And
what did you hear?
Similar stories about job loss or divorce or large investment failure or loss of close family members or friends that have obviously had a devastating effect. And then the other thing that doesn't surprise me but always puts me in awe is the resiliency of people. And sometimes the resiliency is just enough to get them to hang on. And sometimes it's enough to pull them through and hopefully they're hanging on long enough to find help. And when I say find help, they're creating the help for themselves. They find that source that they need to recharge their battery and rebuild the walls that they stand on, not the walls that they build around themselves, but the foundations. That never surprises me, but I'm always in awe of that. And the other thing that does surprise me is when people see that in me. Because for me, it's one step at a time, one day at a time, left foot, right foot, left foot. And when you have an opportunity to turn around and look back down the mountain and see how far you've climbed, that will always blow your mind a little bit.
Miracles are always miracles in retrospect, right?
That's true, yeah. The overnight success, yeah.
That's what the Osmond brothers used to tell me. Yeah, we're the 16-year overnight success. Down in the basement, yeah. Doing dances 8 hours a day. Yeah, overnight, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're brand new.
Yeah. This is powerful. You know, it's interesting in our world of impress and pretend. We sometimes think that it's weak to be real. And in our world today, there's never been more of a need for us to be just real about, and not concerned how people are going to perceive those situations, because so many are going through similar ones. Even if they don't look like they are, people are going through these challenges, and we actually attract them. It's one thing for Bill to be where he is now, building a coaching practice, married to a beautiful woman who's intelligent, a great attorney, life being put back together again, even though again, it's one step left, right, like you said, Bill, even today, right?
Yeah.
You look back and go, wow, look how far I've climbed. Very exciting. It's wonderful for people to say, look where he is. But the power in where he is where he came from. That's the power. The power is where he was, and that through all kinds of divine intervention and hard work and tenacity and just one foot in front of the other, now he's there. So there's hope in that, gosh, if I'm there, I could someday get there. But nobody knows that unless we're honest about where we've really been. Let us not be afraid, especially today, to just be real. The truth of it. What's the truth of it? Let us not pretend. Let us not try to impress. Let us just be real. Wow, Bill, what a great weekend.
Yeah.
To serve that
really.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah, very blessed weekend.
Bless a lot of lives that way. That's fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing.
My pleasure.
You know, the only risk with Mike sharing and then you sharing is someone else says, what do I do to top that, you know?
I bet they can.
Did anybody just have a different conversation with a child or with a spouse, something that they may not normally do, or something that turned out really special because they were focused? Anybody on the phone that had one of those moments this week?
Dave, this is Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Hey. Judy and I had a excellent opportunity to have a very gracious friend offer us, Judy and I, an opportunity to get away for the weekend and go spend some time at their cabin. And it was unexpected. Planned it a week and a half ago or so. And it kind of became our postponed Valentine's weekend. You know, the hustle bustle to try to get out of town on Friday. We ended up getting out a little bit late. I was able to swing by a flower shop and got some flowers for my wife. And if you can believe it, I figured out how to sneak them into the car and get them into the cabin before Judy caught me trying to set them up when I got inside. But she planned a couple of things, and we really didn't have a whole lot on the agenda other than to just spend some time with each other and to recharge our batteries. And when you're in a situation like that, it's easy to be present in the now the whole time, because there's no agenda. You just spend the time with each other. Saturday we did something that we had never done before. The snow, if you went out for a walk through the woods in the snow, it probably would be over your head, but we had some snowshoes and we threw some hot dogs and didn't have anything to cook them with, but we were able to find some metal hangers hanging in the closet, and we took off on some snowshoes and got to a point where we decided this was far enough and we were able to spend time together just with each other out there building a fire in the middle of the woods. And I turn around and Judy's laying down in the snow making a snow angel, and we just spent that whole time together barbecuing dinner and remembering the good things that we love and appreciate about each other, and got some time to have some conversations and just really get focused on things that we wanted to accomplish when we got home. So one great big power session that was easy to be present with the whole time.
Well, they tell us, Shane, that there are three things we all need: someone to love, someone who loves us, and something to look forward to. And we would highly recommend that anyone on this phone schedule time with a loved one sometime in the near future, near enough that you can really look forward to it, and go someplace where it's quiet and peaceful, even if it's just for the day, and have one of those kind of power sessions. You had us there roasting hot dogs over the fire with Judy doing a snow angel, absolutely free of all the craziness in your lives. Has there been a little craziness, Shane? Are you there, Shane?
There's definitely been craziness. A lot of hours away from home at night, sometimes away from home early in the morning, and just life doing things that life requires to get through the day sometimes.
So what a wonderful power session. So everybody go, when you get off this call tonight, sit down with someone you love and schedule a time where you're going to block out business, block out life, no matter how hard things are, and just truly be present with each other so that you can listen, be there, and have a moment like that. Thank you for sharing, Shane. That's beautiful. Is there anybody else who would like to share? Let's just have one more, if we have one more person who would like to share with us.
Dave, this is John.
Hi, John.
And I've been sharing lots of little tidbit stories with Dave lately, but I think one that I haven't shared yet comes to mind. And this is with Michael, who is a nephew of ours, whom we are caretaking at the moment. And last weekend, we looked around town for a basketball court and finally found one. He's taken a newfound interest in basketball. So the way the power session turned out was I spent time, maybe an hour, hour and a half, just teaching him some of the finer points of basketball. How to shoot, how to use one hand, how to use your left hand, how to shoot a layup, how to use the backboard, so on and so forth. Before our power session, he was at a point where he just wanted to practice, just wanted to learn, wasn't going to go out on the team, wasn't going to try out, nothing like that, just wanted to hang out. Sounded good. After our power session, I asked him where he was at with basketball, if he thought he'd like to try out on the team, if he thought he was good enough, all of that. And sure enough, he said, I'm definitely going to go out on the team. I'm better than I thought I was, and so on and so forth. The real miracle, though, I think, occurred a couple days afterward when he was out at recess or playing in the gym during recess and playing with another young girl in his class. And normally he's a real competitive kid, wants to be at the center of it all and, you know, wants the ball to be thrown to him. But he actually took the time and rebounded for her and taught her a few of the finer points of how to use the backboard and so on and so forth, and ended up making a new little friend. So that was a breakthrough for him, and I look forward to a lot more power sessions on the basketball court.
That is awesome, John. Now, you've shared one with me that, if you would share, this happened after somewhat of a challenging few days, where you did a power session on the way to school one morning. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a good one. It was actually after a breakdown. Here, Dave had been working with me on intrinsic validation and listening for doors to open and so forth. And this was after an occasion where I just blew it with Michael, the same individual, and just had a rather nasty evening with him. I won't go into all the details of that. Let's suffice to say I blew it in terms of intrinsic validation. And
what does it say, he pushed your buttons?
I got my buttons pushed, and I pushed back. And dawned on me a couple days later how, you know, it takes you a couple days when your buttons do get pushed to actually realize it. But once you do, it just blows you away in terms of, wow, in terms of how much you really did blow it. But then after a coaching session with Dave, I kind of got my mind in the right place and my heart in the right place, and really didn't take any effort to make amends for the situation prior to that. But I think, you know, Michael reflected on it as well on his own and got his heart and his head in the right place as well. And the following morning, it was a particularly nasty, snowy, cold morning in the Midwest, so I drove the two kids to school. And Michael had this song in his brain from Polar Express, so we started singing that together. And then halfway on the way to school, he just reached over and grabbed my hand, and we held hands the rest of the way. And sang a couple more songs on the way.
Can't put a price on that, can you? Wow. I have to acknowledge John and his sweet wife for taking in two children. Death in the family. Some real financial challenges and stepping up and Donna taking on these two children and treating them like their very own and loving them and helping them come alive. If you knew the circumstances under which they lived before, you'd even understand more the miracle of that kind of a morning. Way to be, John. It's awesome. Well, that's the truth of it. When we're talking about these principles, as simple as they may sound, we discover that quite often, because of the thought processes we have in our own mind, that we actually are creating a lot of the negative things that are occurring in our lives. And as we begin to use our mind constructively and in passion-driven action, present in the now, creating something different, we discover a great secret that almost everything that's happened in our life that we don't like, we probably were a big part of it. And everything in our life that's wonderful, we were a big part of it. We helped create our own circumstance. Which means if we don't like where we are, then there might need to be some change. That's the truth of it. This is hard. I want to, without going into a lot of detail that would be inappropriate, I want you to know that last Wednesday and Thursday were two of my hardest days that I can remember in a long time. Really a hard day. Wednesday, tough decision. Thursday, dealing with the fallout of that decision. Hard days. And I remember, some of you I've shared the story with privately. It was about midnight on Thursday night, and I'm going into the kitchen to get a drink of water to put by my nightstand while I sleep. And I remember looking up at heaven and saying, Father, this is so hard. And when I said hard, it came from the center of my gut. Tough, tough decisions that could impact lives. Tough decisions. And I got a whispering back in my heart that I think applies to all of us seeking to improve our lives. This was the whispering. That's what great leaders do. Now, I'm not saying I'm a great leader. What I heard was, if I wanted to be, this is what great leaders do. They deal with the hard things. They don't shy away from, they take on the tough stuff. And I made a recommitment that night in my own life, in my own business. Ramona and I own 13 businesses. This was one of them. It was an important one to both of us. And we made some hard decisions, And interestingly enough, by last night, the whole thing had come around full circle. All the pieces that needed to be put back together differently were. And it's going to be 10 times better than it was in that particular business. And I look back now and said, you know, last night, to Ramona, oh my goodness, Thursday night, just buried in anguish. This is so hard. Monday night, deeply, deeply grateful for having had the experience because of what was now possible that could have never happened without going through that hard experience. That's the truth of it. Now, many in the world just want it easy. They don't want any more stress and no more pain and no more frustration. They want it just to flow to them. They just want it to just happen. It doesn't work that way. That's not the truth of it. Self-improvement is about getting to the truth of it. What's true? And when we get to the truth of it and we shine light on it, we may not like what we see. There's a good chance we won't. But by shedding light on it, we do not create it. We reveal it. We reveal what is. That's the truth of it. And finally, having shed light on it and revealing the truth of it, we are now at choice whether we do something about it. Do we keep doing the same thing over and over again? Consciously do something different. That's the truth of it. That's self-improvement. Do we have the courage to do the hard thing? Some of you are in businesses that require absolutely for your expectations, your dreams of where you want that business to be will require you to do hard things. Hard in part because your thought processes will be in conflict at first. Hard because you'll be shifting thought processes, literally changing the way synapses fire in your brain. That doesn't just happen. It requires insight, density focus. That means focused attention for a significant period of time. Every time that thought process comes, we consciously shift it and shift it and shift it. That's a hard thing with some of these thoughts. But when we do this and a new thought process occurs, Ogg tells us something. 1968. This beautiful, beautiful passage, which if we could just embrace this peace and live this peace, he says to us, as the words of these scrolls are consumed by my mysterious mind, the subconscious mind of mine, I will begin to awake each morning with a vitality I have never known before. My vigor will increase. My enthusiasm will rise. My desire to meet the world will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise, and I will be happier than I ever believed it possible to be in this world of strife and sorrow. I watched this today with a very courageous client who for 20 years has been entertaining some of the most sabotaging thought processes. However, this individual is so brilliant that he still has functioned at a very high level, who for the first time this last week let go of a sabotaging thought process to see what was possible with it being absent. Now, it's back again with the next event, and he'll release it again, and he'll release it again, and I know within a few weeks he's going to wake every morning without the fear he once knew at sunrise. Oh, is it hard? Oh, my goodness. He wanted to run away. He wanted to quit what he was doing. He wanted to be over with. It's just too painful. Oh, it's hard. Yes, David, it's hard. And I said, yes. But, oh, he is going to pay the price. Paid it last week. He's going to pay it this week. Within 2 or 3 weeks, his whole reality will have shifted. His genius will be in full bloom. His business is going to skyrocket. He was already doing well. When we have things that have happened in our past that we want to hide, and this is in response to you, Bill, this is a response to another experience we had this week where I listened to an individual share with me, standing before his group, telling the truth of it, the truth of it, concerned prior to that of whether or not he could and did. And he was there in this meeting with his associate who shared the experience, moved, deeply emotionally moved by the experience. And spontaneously, other people shared their fears and made commitments to overcome them. Oh, my goodness. Was it hard? Oh, it's hard. But that's what great leaders do. That's what great people do. They do the hard thing. In the middle of the hard thing, oh, they don't want to be there. Oh, it hurts. Retrospectively, they are all grateful for having done the hard thing. Power sessions for some is a hard thing. We're so tied up in our mind to just be focused for an hour is a hard thing. To do it 3 times a day, oh my goodness, we have voices screaming so loud in our minds. But I'm going to encourage you, that's what great people do. They do the hard thing. And then they get to have the inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. They get to feel the connection with the power greater than themselves. They get to step into someone's world and take down their walls of resistance. They get to have a 12-year-old hold their hand, singing songs on the way to school. Because they did the hard thing. May we this week recommit, all of us, to do the hard thing. Because there isn't one of us on the phone who doesn't have thought processes that are challenging. I spent this weekend in my journal, journaling. I didn't do any business this weekend. I shut off business. Went to dinner with Ramona and my brother and a friend of his, and we went to see Avatar 3D, which was an amazing experience. Sunday we did our church service. The rest of the weekend, Sunday night we had the family over. Oh, that was delightful. 35 of us for dinner. That was wonderful. But the rest of those private times in my journal, and I kept asking, what is the truth of it? What is the truth of it? I can tell you there were some times when I was brought to sobbing tears, because shedding light on the truth of it can be really painful. Again, we don't create it, we simply reveal it. And then we have an opportunity to make the choice to change. As you're working on your power sessions this week, set a couple power sessions aside and journal, what is the truth of it? Do I complain about working hard and long? Am I really just doing busy work, or am I taking full accountability for my results? Do I truly care about others? Do I really care, or do I just want to care about others, or talk about caring about others when really my secret thought processes are about making millions of dollars? What are my secret thoughts? What's the truth of it? What's the truth of it? Do I care? Are the words I speak truthful? What's the truth of it? Do I try to impress and pretend? Do I feel shame and fear? What's the truth of it? I would plead with all of you. Life at this moment in time, 23rd of February, 2010, we are on the precipice of some of the most wonderful and tragic things that ever happened on this earth. Those who have the courage to do the hard thing, to look at the truth of it, and to get their souls congruent with their facade, so that they can walk and serve and build and love and share, will be at peace, regardless of what happens. And will create the greatest success possible. And when they do, their heart's desires will be to share it with others in need. What's the truth of it? I want to thank everybody who shared tonight for sharing your power sessions. For all of those of you who did privately, because I know some of you had some moments a little uncomfortable to share on the phone. Thank you for sharing. We could feel your energy. Continue this process for the week. Do the hard thing. That's what great people do. Be one of them. Let us come back next Tuesday night ready to encourage each other as we did tonight to be that kind of a person, regardless of the business that we're in. Showing up in service of others, engaged in life, embracing principles, connecting with people, creating value everywhere we go, and contributing to the world so that our divine capital will in fact fulfill its purpose. Well, thanks everyone. I just want to open this up if there's anyone who wants to make a last closing comment before we wrap up the session for this evening. Is there anything else anyone would like to share before we call it a night?
Well, Dave, can you hear me?
Yes.
That's what I mean. It was just a small thing, but I always do say that if I could serve anyone, put them on my path, and I will serve them. It was at the end of the day last week, and I was going down to get Jonas, and there was a young lady in the hallway, and she had this piece of paper in her hand, looking at it and looking at the bulletin board, you know. And I said, "Are you lost?" And she said, "Well, I'm trying to find this certain room." And I went over there, and the doors are locked, and she was going to the back door, and I was able to lead her to the front door, which was wide open, and they were waiting for her. So that was uplifting to me.
To be conscious.
Yes. Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot. Many of us on this phone are having challenges in our lives.
Uh-huh.
But few are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
For the purpose of encouraging us to stick together, to do the hard thing, to keep engaged, keep persisting and pushing forward, would you share with us where you are?
You mean about my husband?
Yes.
Well, he's going to be 93 in another month or so, and he had a stroke last May, and he's had some mini strokes lately. But so I'm working on having him taken care of. I can't leave him alone, and yet I'm still trying to work the business, trying to do the scrolls and and the other things to keep uplifted and focused.
And full-time nurse.
Yes. So it's like two full-time jobs. And it's challenging, yes.
Thank you. You and I had a chance to visit for a few minutes tonight before the session, and I told Eileen she was an angel. Because you have to be to endure where she is right now, the imminent loss of her husband, and the love they share, and the special story that brought them together at this point in their lives, and we talk about what matters most. What matters most? And I'll tell you, when I got off the phone, Eileen, I said to myself, I have no excuses. I have no excuses. Mm-hmm. If Eileen can keep going, working full-time nurse, full-time with her husband, taking him to work with her because that's what's required. She can't leave him alone. Hospice will not let him stay alone. And still trying to figure out how to work her business she has with the company. I have no excuses. I appreciate your example, Eileen. You're an inspiration to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, we sure love everyone on the phone. Mm-hmm. Let's make this week count. Let's make it count. As Og says, let me seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. Let us take courage and do that hard thing. And let us come back next Tuesday night to talk about the successes that we're experiencing in our lives so that we can continue to inspire one another to improve. For things to get better, we have to get better. A dear friend of mine says, Dan McCormick, for our life to improve, we must improve. This is critical. It's essential. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you.